Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu.
With a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
For an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your God in heaven. For God makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as the Heavenly One is perfect.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory,
by the name of Julia Ward Howe, joined a party which sources say included President Abraham Lincoln to inspect the condition of Union troops of our Civil War near Washington, D.C. in the year 1861. To overcome the tedium of that carriage ride that was taking them back into the city, Howe and her colleagues began singing army songs. They were the songs that they had been hearing as they visited the Union camps. And included in their singing was one that they heard there, which was the most popular in their day. It was called John Brown's Body. And this song was based on an old hymn that they had learned in church called Brothers, Will You Meet Us? One member of the party was Julia's pastor. His name was Reverend James Clark, and he liked the melody of the song, but found the lyrics to be distinctly unelevated. And in his opinion, soldiers had taken a beautiful hymn and written fairly base lyrics. The published version of the day ran something like this: "We'll hang old Jeff Davis from a sour apple tree." They sang that as they marched. But the marching soldiers really preferred this verse: "We'll feed Jeff Davis sour apples till he gets the diarrhea." Just let that go on your ear. And Reverend Clark wondered out loud, amidst the singing, whether Ms. Howe could please craft something more fitting. So they went back to the hotel and went to bed. And the next day, Ms. Howe woke early in the wee hours of the morning. And as she lay in bed awake, in her diary it records that lines of poetry began forming themselves in her mind. She got up, she said, and scribbled down the words with an old stump of a pen and barely even looked at the paper. Then she went back to sleep. And she wrote, "I felt like something of importance had happened to me." The editor of the Atlantic Monthly, his name was James T. Fields, paid Ms. Howe $5 to publish the poem, and he gave it the title, "The Battle Hymn of the Republic." It's been sung and performed on many occasions for various reasons since it was first published that day in the Atlantic. On April 3rd, I'm just going to share one. The year was 1968. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. rose to speak in support of striking sanitation workers in Memphis, Tennessee. He said, "I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land." And he announced, "I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man." Can't you hear his cadence? And then he closed that speech with his lyrical voice, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." It was the last line that King ever spoke in public. He was assassinated that day. From "Brothers, Will You Meet Us" to "John Brown's Body" to "The Battle Hymn of the Republic." And this morning, we experienced the newest version, at least the newest version I know of, "Your Peace Will Make Us One" by Audrey Assad. Audrey is a young singer-songwriter. We were able to be with her when we traveled with our youth team to Princeton. She wrote this song, and here's what she said about it on Instagram. "The lyrics I wrote for 'Your Peace Will Make Us One' came to me all in one piece while I was listening to Pastor Edmondson and Mrs. Edmondson at the Porter's Gate gathering at Art House in Nashville. That happened in January 2019. I was just sitting and listening, and in one of those magical moments of creative spirit, the kind we all wait and show up for but cannot force or coerce into existence, the entire lyric poured into my mind faster than my pen could write it down." She goes on, "I thought about releasing it around Independence Day, July 4th, but I truly didn't rewrite this Civil War hymn just to be provocative or combative. That would be at odds with the entire spirit of the lyric. Besides, I didn't choose for this to come to me. I merely caught it as it raced by." Author Elizabeth Gilbert, she wrote "Eat, Pray, Love." "I think she would agree with me that had I decided not to write it, it would have found someone else's pen." So in a sense, I chose to write this, and in a sense, it chose me to write it. I decided to release it because peace feels so elusive right now. I think it's a brilliant display of the power one song can hold, especially when it's molded and considered in the context of its original age. I believe the song's association with the previous versions lends it an even greater depth for all of us and a nuance that it could carry all on its own. So I'm going to invite us, stay seated. We're going to just sing the first verse of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Pay attention to your body. Pay attention to your spirit and whatever memories flood maybe you as we sing.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Just give yourself a moment. And now let us sing the first verse of Audrey's song.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. You are speaking truth to power. You are laying down our swords, replanting every vineyard till a brand new wine is poured. Your peace will make us one.
It's as though Audrey is saying, you've heard it sung, but I sing. And that, I think, is how we can understand this frame that Jesus is putting around the law as he delivers his Sermon on the Mount through the Gospel of Matthew. He's putting a frame around the law, the Torah. It's the law of God as revealed to Moses and recorded in the first five books of Scripture. And it's a gift from God intended to help the people of God choose life-giving community instead of death, instead of harm. And Jesus, in so doing, is not negating the law, not one bit. He is applying the central core values of that law to his day. There's a participatory aspect, I think, that Jesus calls all of us to, as he is the example of doing it himself, on behalf of those of us who are weaker. He proclaims first an ancient teaching, just like we sang that first verse. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And then he proclaims a different facet of that ancient teaching. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you, take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. Jesus embraces those ancient God-breathed teachings when he says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." And then he intensifies all to love their enemy by saying, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of God in heaven. For God makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even those tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly one is perfect." See, Jesus is bringing those laws to life in his time and in his place. And in so doing, maybe we are able to feel the rhythm that we have been existing in these 4 weeks of this series of Micah 6:8 at work in Jesus as we listen in on that address to the crowds on the mountain. Jesus is laying out his own results with his new lyrics to God's song of doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with the Holy One. His verses are about poorness of spirit, meekness, purity of heart and mercy, peacemaking, hunger for righteousness. They tell of the steady, faithful, loving results which often play out in those who are in mourning. And so we here at the table, we sing, "Have eyes for love and count the beggar's life precious as your own, and offer your pack for your neighbor's load." We wonder with each other, would you harbor a Tubman, a Garrett, a Truth, a fugitive, or a slave? And we boldly proclaim that forgiveness is the garment of our courage and the power to make the peace we long to know. Jesus is talking, and we are singing here at the table about the kind of community that the law imagines. A community of love and integrity in which people are not taken advantage of. A kingdom of heaven that is being imagined where the fulfillment of the law is actually now among us and taking place. It's a very, very beautiful and positive understanding of the law and what God's intentions might look like, especially for our interpersonal relationships. The relationships that we have one with another, as we each day are perfected more into God's love. Now, this would be a utopic vision, right? If it wasn't followed up with the rest of the story, which we hold, and we know that Jesus dies at the hands of empire. It's coming oh so shortly after this time on the mount. Living out this 6-8 rhythm that we have been talking about all these 4 weeks sets us, though, over and against the order of that very same empire, which continues to have multiple ways, you can list them in your own mind, to find, to persecute anyone or group who does not follow its tune. Nevertheless, we are called to do the work of justice, to resist evil in the forms, every form, in which it presents itself. When there is a mode of nonviolent retaliation, when we behave in that way that Jesus calls us to, it names and unmasks the empire and the oppressors for the evils that they commit. Committing ourselves to this work, we know, is challenging. It's very hard. In between the prophet Micah's anguish and the Sermon on the Mount lie the very human questions and the decisions of our daily lives. Because it's one thing to imagine the challenge of loving your enemy, of daring them to strike you with another blow out there in the abstract. It's quite another to face it in real time. And there are many who have done this. I'm just going to lift up Dr. Martin Luther King again. And he explained how he moves in the world and how he led our American civil rights movement in this way. From the beginning, a basic philosophy guided our movement. This guiding principle has been referred to variously as nonviolent resistance, non-cooperation, and passive resistance. But in the first days of the protest, none of these expressions was mentioned. The phrase most often used was Christian love. Christian love. It was the Sermon on the Mount, he wrote, rather than the doctrine of passive resistance that initially inspired the African Americans of Montgomery to dignified social action. It was Jesus of Nazareth, he wrote, that stirred the African Americans to protest with the creative weapon of love. See, Jesus sees how evil hides in plain sight. But he also sees and notices something else. He knows how God's love inhabits and transforms each and every person. How God is mothering and feeding in the wee hours of the night. Jesus sees how broken relationships are made whole as the Spirit moves among and between and around us. And he sees that justice can reign whenever we look into the face of our enemy and see who? Our brother or our sister. So may we find the 6-8 rhythm in our own lives. May our church continue to lift up the songs of freedom and love until they become our hymns for this age. And may we join Audrey Assad's new song, and may we be emboldened to take our place. It is our turn. It is our day to dismantle our empires until each one of God's children is free. May we believe and live that God's peace will make us one. Amen.
Love it all down to the wire. Love burning like a wildfire. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow.
Love for my brother, love
the color. Love for the nation. Love.